This is the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast. This is your friend Joey Salazar, and it is an absolute honor to connect with you through these means. And again, we set out to just simply add value to your life. And so it means a lot that you would be listening in today. As per usual, my very good friend Gio is in the studio as well. Gio, how are you today?
Doing great. Excited for today. Hello, everyone. Thank you all for your support.
Absolutely. It does mean a lot. It really means so much. Just you listening in and tuning in and sharing and the comments you let us know. It's really cool to see how this community is growing and how we're able to add value to your life. But today we are making history. Today is one for the books. One of my desires in launching this podcast was that we would have intentional conversations with people who have added value to my life. There's a question that says, who do you know that I should know, right? And so that's a networking question. And in my life, there have been key voices, key relationships, key influences who have helped me and shaped me become the man, the leader, the person that I am today. And what's really cool is that today we have one of those voices in my life. And it's none other than one of my closest friends, Pastor JJ. And it's an honor. It's an honor, really, to have you here in the studio with us and just be able to have this conversation. So how are you today?
Thanks, man. I'm doing so good. It's an honor to be here. I'm a little offended that it took so long for me to get on your podcast. But when you told me that your dad went on before me, it's hard to fight pops, you know, especially your dad. He's an amazing pastor, an amazing man. But no, really, it's an honor to be here. For those who don't know, Pastor Joey, man, he's a real deal. He's a real deal leader. We met each other when we were 19, 20 years old. And ever since then, I've been just so blown away by your capacity to lead, and even more so, your capacity to learn, I think, really sets you apart. So if you've been following the podcast, you are on a good one. You are subscribed to a good one because everything he says is gold. So
thank you so much. I felt like we did that backwards because I was going to honor you.
Oh,
and
thank
give you.
Give
you your bio.
You did. You said I was one of the most formative voices in your life. What more could you say?
No, if you haven't had a chance to meet Pastor JJ, he's lead pastor here at Journey Church. We launched 5 years ago, and God has been doing something very special here in Central Florida. He's also an author. He's also a sought-out speaker. He's a man of many, many talents and gifts. But one of the things you just highlighted was just how far back we go. And that's something I feel like maybe not a lot of people know about us, but we do go back from, I think, maybe like 15 years or more. And what's really cool is that you've been consistent. And I remember those just early memories of us together, whether in San Antonio or in Gainesville, stuff like that. And so thank you for all just the encouragement, and also, you know, the times where you needed to call me out and challenge me or encourage me, or just always been a constant friend. And so I'm excited to have this conversation with you. I just want to continue to learn from you. And I want to give all of our listeners that opportunity as well. And so I guess, the mission of our podcast is simply to help people not only lead others more effectively, but also lead yourself more effectively as well. And I just being under your leadership and following you, you know, you lead yourself so well, and our staff as well. But kind of we'll start off with that particular question. Just what do you think, you know, it takes? Why is it important to be able to lead yourself well before you lead others well?
Yeah, I think it's important to lead yourself well before you can lead others well, because one of the ways to view leadership is as a guide. The word pastor in English comes from the root shepherd. And in order to be an effective shepherd, you have to know the lay of the land. You have to know where you're leading the sheep to. And so it's really as simple as you can't take people to places that you've never been.
That's good.
That's a challenge. I think when, like me, you've been a pastor, like this is the first church I've ever pastored. So kind of all the whole way I've been trying to take people places I've never been. But I think one of the things that, and I'll probably get into this later, that has allowed me to succeed, other than the grace of God, is getting with people who have been there before me. Mm. And so even though I was trying to lead a church, having never led a church before, I was sure to surround myself with people who have led churches, because everyone needs someone who's been there before and been there ahead of them. So I never, if you're trying to get somewhere you've never been before, find someone who's been there. And if you're trying to lead someone somewhere, and they're not getting there, I think one of the great questions to self-evaluate and ask yourself is, am I there? Mm. You know, if my team doesn't have the joy that I want to see, do I have that joy? If my team doesn't have the culture that I want to see, do I carry that culture? If they don't carry the passion for God that I want to see, do I carry that passion? If they're not paying attention to the details, do I pay attention to the details? So I think your team is always going to be a reflection of yourself to some extent. So I think that's why it's important.
Yeah. I love that. I think it goes to talk about just the ownership that we have for our lives and not waiting for just life to happen to us, but us going after it as well. Can you share with us a little bit about just kind of your story of leadership? You know, just how did that start for you? Who were maybe some influences in your life that helped you kind of get on the right track? Who have helped you develop into who you are today?
I think the story of leadership for me, it's similar to, there was a movie that came out recently based on a book. It was Dune. I don't know if you guys have seen it or not. Have you seen, you guys don't watch movies? No.
Sorry.
Pastor Joey really doesn't watch movies. That's a true story. Gio, I thought you watched movies.
I do. It won a lot of awards, so it's definitely on my radar. I haven't checked it out yet, though.
All right. So there's one scene where I won't spoil the whole movie for you, but there's one scene where the son is talking to the dad. The dad's a king, the son's a prince. And the son is asking the dad, like, how do you become a leader? And the dad says something to the effect of, and I'm sure your listeners will correct me if I'm wrong, they can put it in the comments, the actual quote. Or maybe, Joe, you could look it up. I don't know, but it's a really good one. It says something to the effect of, you don't go looking for leadership. Like, leadership comes looking for you. Like, it's a calling. Like, it finds you. You don't go to it. Leaders don't seek leadership, they're called to it, or something to that effect. And I think that was definitely, like, I never wanted to be, how does it go?
A great man doesn't seek to lead, he's called to it.
That's it, yeah, you got that. He did it so fast. He's such a good wingman here. he doesn't seek to lead, he's called to it. And I think that was really my story in leadership. It's never something, I'm always a little hesitant, actually, of the leader who wants to be a leader. Mm. I know that might sound weird. For those who are listening to a leadership podcast, you'd be like, well, I guess I'll shut this down right now. I don't want to be a leader. I mean, I want to be a leader. But I don't know, like on a heart level, it's never, ever, ever something I wanted. I was just trying to be obedient. And in my obedience, leadership was something that God asked me to do. And I knew that because when I stepped into a room, people looked to me for direction or looked to me for an answer or looked to me for, you know, a point. And I said, well, I guess if this is what the room, like, it was just something that God put inside of me. So you just know that. But once you identify that, then you have the responsibility to steward the call that God's given you. Once you know what God has called you to do, then you got to steward it. And so for me, that meant being willing to learn from the leaders I had in my life. I had some great leaders. I didn't have some Hall of Fame leaders like John Maxwell is a mentor. I don't have the certification like you do, Pastor Joey, but he's a mentor. Read many of his books, John Bevere's and the pastors of the who've written books, and I had some people who I think will be Hall of Famers in heaven that we'll never know about that really poured into my life. But I think one of the big things was, no matter who God had over me in that season, I tried my best to learn from them. And there's two ways to learn from the leaders around you: what to do and what not to do. But either way, there's no excuse to learn. So I really leaned into the leaders that I had. I honored them, and that's pretty much my leadership journey, leaning into the call, leaning into the leaders around me, and doing my best to steward what I felt like God had given me.
I love that. Can you expound a little bit on learning where you're at? Because there might be some people listening there who's like, well, I can't because either I have a full-time job or I can't do, or, you know, my you don't know my schedule, or you don't know the way my finances are set up, and or I'm a parent, or whoever's listening, you know, and we all have our own responsibilities and stuff, but can you speak to how, like, hey, it's possible that where you're at, you can grow, or what the mindset it takes to do that?
Well, I think the beginning, the foundational mindset is to believe that wherever you're at, where you're at is God's will right now. Like, and that's in the context of, you know, living righteously. And obviously, if you're not following Christ, I don't think that's his will for your life. But if you're a Christ follower, you have a prayer life, you're connected to the Lord, where you're at is where he wants you. And if I'm fighting with him, if I don't like where I'm at, the question becomes then, am I really fighting where I'm at, or am I fighting with the Lord's will for my life? Because you don't want to be fighting with the Lord's will for your life. So believing that where I was where God wanted me helped me to accept it. Once I accepted it, then I started to learn from it. And we have a saying that I took from somewhere, but we don't believe in ceilings at Journey Church. We believe in lids. And the moment you think you've hit your ceiling, you got to go. You are the ceiling. The moment you feel like you've hit the ceiling, you are the ceiling. And the difference between ceilings and lids is I cannot raise the ceiling of this room. It would take millions of dollars. I couldn't do it because we're right now almost at the top of our building here. So it would take millions of dollars to raise the whole ceiling. Couldn't do it. I cannot raise the ceiling, but I can raise the lid. A lid is something that is portable. It can be removed. A ceiling cannot be removed. And so whenever you face a situation, a season of life where you said the key word, Pastor Joey said, I can't learn in this environment. I can't find time to read a book. I can't find time to listen to a podcast, 35-minute podcast. I can't find time to pray. I can't find time to hone my public speaking gift. I can't find time. Either you don't have the right priorities or you don't have the right mindset.
Yeah.
And priority should be self-development, self-growth in what you want to grow in, because you can't grow in everything at the same time, but then accepting that I can do what I can. I'm a big believer in your best and not the best. You might not be able to give 2 hours to growing as a leader every day, but God never asks you to give 2 hours, quote unquote, the best, right?
Yeah.
Like he asked you to give your best always in every season. So if your best in a season, if you're juggling three jobs, but you really want to grow in your leadership and your best in that season with being a dad, with being a husband, with being someone who works out, is a 15-minute, you know, podcast or a 30-minute podcast on the way home or reading one chapter of a leadership book a day, then do that. And God can do that. God will honor that and he will multiply that. That's the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, right?
Yes.
That God can take a little and he can multiply it into a lot. And so whatever little you have, the question is, will you give it to Jesus? Will you give it him your best? And then he multiplies it. He multiplies it. So that's what I believe.
That's so good. I try to be as practical as possible. Mm-hmm. I try to keep my messages and as simple as possible so that people, and this is something you've taught me, preach to people's Mondays, right? And so what are some of those practical things that you do or tools that you have or apps or anything that helps you just effectively just lead yourself better? Because we'll get to leading others here in a little bit. But just things that you do in your own life,
yeah,
being a good steward of what God's entrusted you, whether your family or church or your health, but just what are some of those practical tools that you use to help yourself continue to lead? Can you raise that lid in your life?
So if I had to summarize it for someone listening to a 30-minute podcast to get it really down, yes, and takeaways, I would say the 3 steps are to identify the problem, make the plan, and execute the plan. It's that simple. And by the problem, I mean, or we could say identify the potential. Yeah. A lot of people say, I want life to get better. And it's like, how? Well, I want my finances to get better. I want my relationships to get better. I want my body to get better. I want my public speaking to get better. And I'm like, okay, listen, the only way you're going to get all that together at the same time is like, first off, Jesus, right? Seek first the kingdom. Now, Jesus might not rid you of the belly fat, but maybe he'll stop you from being gluttonous. But other than that, I think you have to pick what area of your life you want to grow in. And for me, the way I did it was like one at a time. Life is short, so you got to give it your all. But life is also long. And I think those two truths are the ones that we have to live in between. And so I can't figure this all out right now. So to give you an example, super practical, last year I wanted to grow in sleep. Like, I know that sounds silly to some people, but I just wanted to be able to sleep for the first time 7-8 hours every night of my life, sometimes up to 9. That was the goal, because I heard that if I slept better, I would have a better body, I'd have a better mind, I'd have more creativity, I'd be in a better mood, which would make my family better. Like, sleep for me felt like the one area of my life that I can improve in, that everything would get better. So I identified the potential slash problem. Then I made a plan. How do I sleep better? I researched. I learned on melatonin. I researched pillows. I researched weighted blankets. That was a fail. Weighted blankets, I cannot. Then I researched what mattresses to have. So I bought a new pillow. I bought a new mattress. I bought melatonin. I started shutting off TV at a certain time. I'm wearing, a sleep tracker on my finger right now that I still wear. I can tell you how many hours I've slept, like, every day for this past 30 days. So, and I've improved and I got better. Now this year, I'm working on something else in another area of my life. But I'm trying to grow every year in one, maybe two areas of my life. So if you can limit that, identify the problem slash potential, put together a plan, and then execute the plan. And that happens with like quarterly check-ins. So the practical side of that would be once a quarter, looking at your big annual goal of improving in one area of your life or leadership, and then asking yourself, you know, how have I done? Has that fallen through the cracks? Have I let that go? Or am I still on track?
That's so good. I can totally identify with that. I think at times where I felt like I wasn't making progress in an area was because I was trying in too many areas.
Yeah.
You know, and now I'm divided. Now I'm not focused on certain things. Mm-hmm. Gio, I wonder about, you know, as far as you go, just practical, what are some things that maybe you do in your life to continue to just make sure that, hey, you're growing as a leader, to make sure that, hey, I'm being responsible with what I have as well?
Yeah, that's a great question. Number one for me, I try to slow down, and then I have to definitely honor and respect and protect my quiet time in the mornings. If I don't have my quiet time in the morning, it's like coffee. Like I'm just off that day. So if I don't have my time with God and prayer, everything is like a domino effect. Like everything just seems off. And then I do struggle with distractions. Like I know you did mention Pastor JJ, but what are some key things for you that maybe help you stay focused and not, this is a very distracted world. Like the world is designed to keep us distracted. Like, well, how do you navigate that?
I do something called weekly reviews based on the Full to Focus plan from Michael Hyatt, a great resource. I know Joey finished the program as well, Pastor Joey. But to every week, I look at my week. I look back and I look forward. And there, I think it's just a self-accountability. When I look back at my week and I look at what my goals were and I go, oh man, like you said, you'd get better at prayer this week, at this year. But this week, you only got up early four times a week. Like, this is what you have to work on. And so I think just awareness and accountability, those two A's right there, awareness, accountability, and then action, taking action afterwards, that's key. Most people don't realize they're getting distracted until it's too late. Right, it's the end of the year, and then you look back and you go, man, what happened? This was supposed to be, I was supposed to get better at this, man. Oh, man, what happened? It's like, if you just took the time to slow down, like you said, look back and you go, if my next week looks like my last week, I'm not going to be who I want to be this year. So I gotta stop and reflect.
That's good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know, in reference to leading not only yourself well, but leading others well, can you talk to us a little bit about just the importance or how we can, wherever we're at, be able to lead others effectively? Not everybody may be the CEO or the person who started the business necessarily, or the highest position in a company, right? But like, how important is that? And just how do we do that? How can we influence others and lead others well?
I really think that depends on who it is you're trying to lead. I think Jesus led people differently as well, right? To the Pharisee, he always tried to humble them, and that was his way of leading them. To the sinner, he always tried to lift them up, and that was his way of leading them. So first, identify who it is you're trying to lead. I would not lead my staff member the same way I would lead my spouse. In fact, you and I had a conversation about that, just talking about relationships. That one of the best ways, I was talking about my life, and how when I first started leading my wife, I felt like I was growing really fast and maybe she was kind of falling behind in some areas. And I tried to, you know, level her up, you know, like if she was a Pokemon or something like that, you know, trying to share my experience with her and like teach her, this is what I'm learning and this is where I'm growing. And I found out that's an ineffective way to lead your spouse, because your spouse doesn't want to be interned. They don't want to be pastored in that way. They want to be cared for. They want to be with. They want to be with. So to be able to sit with her. So I found that the way you lead your spouse is actually through inspiration. So if you're at home and you're a husband and you're trying to lead your home, or you're trying to lead your wife, or if you're a wife and your husband maybe is far from God and you're trying to lead him back, the best way to do that is to live a life that is so inspirational. You've got so much joy. You got so much peace. You're so kind. You're so generous. You're so thoughtful. That the person you're living with says, I want what you got. That's how you lead your spouse. The way you lead a volunteer, if you're a church leader, is a lot different than that. The way you lead a volunteer is where, you know, kindness, honesty, accountability, being willing to have the tough conversations, being willing to make time, but also being sensitive to the fact that they're a volunteer. They don't have all the time in the world.
Yeah.
So I can look a lot more at the person when they're a dream teamer than I can if they're a staff member. If they're a staff member, I got to look at the person too. But the moment this becomes your job, there come expectations for the work. Mm-hmm. So the moment you're a staff member, I'm going to lead you through the expectations. I'm going to talk to you as a person, tell me what's going on at home, how can I help, how can I pray for you. At the same time, hey, here's the job though, and you got to do this job. So I think that's it's a different way for everyone. So identifying who it is, and then what kind of, that will change the way that you approach them, and then really customizing each way to help lead them even further than that. Now that you know who they are, what are their weaknesses? What are their strengths? I think that as leaders, we really downplay, or we don't really see sometimes how much people want to be led. Like, I think I heard this a quote from the NBA one time, that great players want to be coached. Mm-hmm. Great players want that feedback. The great ones do. The ones that aren't going to be great, they don't want it. They want to play what they want to play in their own way. But the great players want to be coached. Tell me how I can get better, how I can grow. And so sometimes we hold that back. But they want, what do you see in me? You know, I just had a meeting with someone downstairs. They said, I want your feedback. What do you see in me? What area of my life can I grow in? How am I, you know, falling short in serving or my relationship with God? So, you know, really not coming with a one-size-fits-all approach, which if you're not careful, and I'll kick it back after this, if you're not careful, if you've been in ministry a long time or if you've been in business a long time and you have one bad experience with one employee or one dream teamer, you'll try and treat everyone like that one person. Wow. You know, you can't even do it as a parent. Liz and I had to repent to our kids the other day because one of them did something wrong and we said, y'all ain't watching TV tonight. And then one of them said, what did I do? Like, you're his brother. That's what you did. You're guilty by association. We forget, because we're a parent to two kids, that they're individuals. That they're individuals. So do you do that with your kids sometimes? Yeah. Like, you accidentally punish the other one for what the other one did? Like,
everyone turning in their phones right
Everyone's turning their phones. The other kid's like, I did good. And, you know, I wonder how many people we lead are paying for other people's mistakes.
Mm.
We can't let that happen. We can't see every individual as an individual.
That's amazing. That's so good. I think, let me ask you about creating a culture, creating an intentional culture within your church, within your business, that where everyone's growing. Mm-hmm. One of the things I admire about our church, our culture, is that we are encouraged to grow. The church will send us to different conferences.
Yeah.
We're on a reading plan right now. We're really intentional having conversations on topics that are going to benefit all of us. We have quarterlies, which are like retreats, you know, four times a year and stuff like that. How important is that? And what are some tools? What are some ideas of that? Hey, wherever you're at, these are some things to consider, because this is how valuable that is.
Yeah, that's hard. That's something we're still trying to figure out. I mean, my first approach towards creating a culture of leadership development was to have like a plan in place. And we kind of have that now with the book, you know, reading of the books. We do a book a month. But something Craig Rochelle said, that leadership development, he framed it like you framed it. It's not a process or a program or a 12-step plan. It's a culture. It's creating a atmosphere where people desire to get better. How do you do that? So I just told the staff today in our last meeting, I said, listen, this isn't about reading a book a month. This is about creating the kind of, being the kind of person that prioritizes time in their day, in their week, in their month to get better and to grow. Whether that comes through a book, or whether that comes through a conference, or whether that comes through you taking out another leader in another church to lunch who's like three steps ahead of you, you know, Gio calling the guest services director at the largest church in Orlando and saying, I'd love to pay for dinner. Can I take you out to dinner? And asking questions, being that kind of person, that's so huge. I think it starts with yourself. Anytime we talk about culture, you never create it, you are it, always. Wow. No matter what we're talking about here, you are culture. I think a lot of people look at culture like Saul's armor. It's shiny, it's successful. We try and apply other churches' cultures or other businesses' cultures to our culture. We're gonna be like Apple, we're gonna be like Highlands, we're gonna be like Elevation. We're going to be like whatever business. We're going to be like this store. We're going to be like that store. And it's like, well, who are you? Because you're going to be who you are. And everyone around you is going to be who you are. And if you are not who you want your organization to be, then you have to start by changing who you are.
That's so good.
And once you change who you are, then the leaders around you will change. And then it's just a slow burn. You know, you have to really commit and communicate over and over and over and over and over and over who we are and why we do what we do. And then hold people the same way that you would hold people accountable who aren't kind, who are maybe parking a car and they're upset. And you would have a conversation with that person, like, hey, I know it's hot out here. I know it's not good, but we got to remember that you are the first minister that this person meets. You are the frontline soldier right here. Your smile sets their spirit up to receive the message inside there. The same way we would hold that person accountable for that kind of service culture, we got to hold our leaders accountable for leadership growth culture.
Yeah.
Why are you not reading the books? We got to read the books, y'all. We got to get better. We got to grow. When's the last conference you've been to? You haven't been to a conference in over a year? You better get to a conference. Like, you've got to be on that. You got to fingers on your pulse there, because I am not good enough to grow the church, and no family, no dad is good enough to lead his home by himself. No business leader is good enough to lead his organization by himself. If you want it to grow, you got to have good employees. You got to have good supervisors for your parent. You got to have good kids. You got to try and help them grow so they can develop themselves.
Yeah.
So you've got to really hold them accountable in that area. As funny as a parent, sometimes you also got to incentivize it. So like we started a workbook at our home with our kids. It's called a Grit Workbook. And it's really cool. One of our family values, and we're putting those together as we speak, but one of our family values is Vasquez has always finished what they started. And it's the idea of grit. Like, I'm gonna be real careful about what I commit to, because whatever I commit to, I'm gonna complete. So I gotta be real careful about what I commit to. So we have this workbook, right? So I'm like, all right, guys, $20 to whoever finishes this book. $20. And after this, if you want to make another 20, I got another book for you to read. So now I'm offering my kids $20 for every book that they finish. They said, can I pick the book? I'm like, heck no, you can't pick. You gotta pick Batman. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna let you pick the book, because I'm gonna pick books that are gonna help them grow as leaders and grow their character. So I already got the books lined up, Compound Effect, and just books ready for them when they're ready to make $20. As long as $20, you know, incentivizes them. So at some point, they'll be like, nah, that's cheap. I'm like, all right, 50. But I think I value leadership growth that much. You know, there are some books I would pay my kids $100 to read and write a report on. There are some books I would pay my kid $100 to read. Y'all, I pay you guys. So like, I'm already paying you, so you need to grow. But on that same note, I mean, we'll spend thousands of dollars to send somebody to a conference on our team. You know, outside of their salary package, because we just understand how important it is to develop.
Absolutely. I'm going to make sure that my kids don't maybe listen to this last little part, because I pay my kids too, but it's not $20. And so I'm going to be like, hey, they get paid more. And so...
wait a second.
It's like the tooth fairy thing, you know?
Exactly.
My kid just lost a tooth, and his grandpa's tooth fairy is a lot better than the tooth fairy that is at our house. So we're like, our tooth fairy is on wick. You know, you don't get $20 a tooth at our house.
There was one time I didn't have any cash on me, and I had to get real creative with the prize. Yeah, to say that. But anyways, hey, well, this last portion that we want to start wrapping up our conversation is it's an idea that we had got from the book called Tribe of Mentors by Tim Ferriss, where he asked similar questions to a whole bunch of people, and so here are just a couple of questions that
spirit like, animal.
No, not that one. We're gonna
that is in Tribe of Mentors.
That is on that one. That's a great book. But what is the book or books?
Bear, by the way. Spirit animal would be bear. I've actually had this conversation, because bears are their family. They're protective of their young, but they're also soft and cuddly and loving. So I told our family, I said our spirit animal as a family is a bear, because we're going to fight for the family, but we're also going to be kind and cuddly.
That's to awesome.
People. Oh. I'm also going to rest. Hibernate.
Hibernate.
What is a book?
Did I just introduce a new question?
That
to
is
going to
be now the new question for everybody to ask.
Okay, go ahead.
So ask my dad now. What is the book or books that you have given out the most that you highly recommend?
Oh, that depends who I'm talking to. But since this is a leadership podcast, I would always hand out 21 Laws of Leadership as the first book that I would hand out to any aspiring leader by John Maxwell.
Sweet. What's a purchase of $100 or less that has positively impacted your life in the last 6 months?
Evernote app.
Cool. How is that? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Just the ability to track. Evernote or Nosby, it's the ability to write down thoughts, ideas, sermons, to be able to track all of my meetings in one place. It's become a second brain for me. I would have so much stuff in my mind that I wouldn't be able to process conversations with people because I literally be thinking about things that I have to tell others or delegate. Now my digital document becomes a digital brain. So when I have a meeting with anybody, I'm like, hold on, let me open up my Evernote app and I see all the things I want to tell them. I don't have to remember what I'm going to tell you. It's on the app. So sometimes I'll wake up at 3 a.m. My phone will be next to me, like, wow. I'll type it in the app. I'll type it in the app, whatever it is I have to do or say. And then I get to rest. Brain space. You know, RAM on a computer?
Yeah, yeah.
It frees up the RAM, man.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I love that. If you could have a billboard and spread a message to millions of people, what would it say?
I think y'all know what it would say. Jesus should be accessible to anyone.
Yes.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. And then I guess the last question here would be simply to anybody who's, whether maybe going through something now that's difficult or for in the future, leadership can sometimes be tough. Parenting can be tough. Just uh-huh. life in general can be tough at times. What are some of the things you do to help you stay encouraged or get back on track or get you kind of out of that space where you just feel like, you know, I can't do this anymore or
yeah.
Maybe God, you made a mistake on this or something like that.
I rest, but to be more specific, I try and rediscover my why. So that happens every day in prayer. Like Gio mentioned, if I don't have the time in prayer this morning, then I fall apart. But one of the reasons why I fall apart, Gio, is because I forget why. So I show up to the office and I'm like, oh, I don't want to be here. Y'all didn't read the book. I'm upset. And I'm tired. You don't care about this. And, you know, and I get all upset and your mind goes places. But when you spend time in prayer, you remember, I'm not doing it for the people at this table. I love the people at this table, but I'm leading because God called me. So when I spend time in prayer every morning, what am I doing? I'm really remembering my why, his love for me, right? So that is huge. But then also your family sometimes can be a great why. So I remember one Sunday at church, it was when we first started, it was our year one. We had launched with 400 people and then, you know, miraculously the church grew to 180. It was reverse growth. And after our lowest Sunday ever, still to this day, it was our lowest Sunday ever. It was because a hurricane hit on top of the fact that the church was just going down. I remember wanting to quit, turn in towel. And that Monday, we went to, back then we had family days on Monday, our off day at the office. I say our off day at the office. I wasn't even full time at that point, but my off day was Monday. We went to Disney and I remember pushing Justice in the stroller and Zane. It was a double stroller and we were at the teacup ride of Magic Kingdom with the mouse in the middle. It was, I can remember, like I was there and I saw Liz to the left of me and she was so happy and my boys were so happy and I was so down because of the Sunday. And then it was like, what am I really celebrating in life right now?
Wow.
You know, and I saw them and I thought, oh, this is my why. You know, I love God. I love my family. I'm doing this for them too. And they're going to grow up in a church and they're going to be... It helped me shift from my job, like succeeding in my job to succeeding as me. And I felt like even though I wasn't succeeding as Pastor JJ, I was crushing it as JJ, as dad, as husband. My kids were loving life. They were laughing and I was the only one that was bummed out. So they're my why too. And that reminds me and that brings me back. That helps me endure the difficult moments, the coming back to the why.
That's so good. Well, Pastor JJ, thank you so much for being
you.
With us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Gio. Thank you,
Joey. Your wisdom, your knowledge, for being a great influence over our lives. And I just pray that this would really resonate with our listeners. And for anybody who wants to say, wants to continue to follow you or start to follow you online,
yeah,
where can people follow you at?
So I'm terrible at social media, but it would be JJ_Vasquez on Instagram. I think it's JJL_Vasquez on Twitter. And then Pastor JJ Vasquez on Facebook. But you can email me. That's probably the best way to get a hold of me at jj@jjvasquez.com.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much, Gio and Pastor JJ, for being here with us today. Thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you guys on the next one. Have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in. For more information and additional resources, check out joeysalazar.org and follow him on Instagram at joeysalazar. Please feel free to rate, review, share, and subscribe. Once again, thank you so much for joining the Joy Salazar Leadership Podcast.